Red teaming your business ideas. Validation in the context of startups refers to the process of testing whether a business idea solves a real problem that real people will pay real money to have solved. The concept sounds straightforward because it is straightforward, which is precisely why most founders do it badly. They treat validation as a checklist to complete rather than an adversarial process to survive, and the difference between those two orientations accounts for a staggering proportion of preventable startup deaths. 42% of startups fail because there was no market need for what they built. Not because the technology didn't work, not because the team fell apart, not because they ran out of money, though that was second at 29%, but because they built something nobody wanted. These are CB Insights numbers from analyzing 101 postmortems, and they represent the single largest category of startup failure by a wide margin. The uncomfortable implication is that nearly half of failed startups in CB Insights sample are the kind that validation is supposed to prevent, which means either founders aren't validating or the validation they're doing is theater. It is mostly theater. What validation theater looks like? The standard playbook goes something like this. Talk to 20 potential customers, build an MVP, measure adoption, iterate. The lean startup methodology codified this as build, measure, learn. And Steve Blank's customer development model formalized the search for a repeatable business model into four phases: customer discovery, customer validation, customer creation, company building. And Clayton Christensen's jobs to be done framework reoriented the entire exercise around what jobs customers are actually hiring products to do rather than what features they say they want. These are genuinely useful frameworks. I am not dismissing them. But they share a structural weakness that none of them adequately addresses. They do not specify the epistemic orientation of the person conducting the validation, which in practice is shaped less by cognitive habit than by the incentive structure surrounding the founder. Equity, sunk costs, social identity, and the simple fact that finding a fatal flaw feels like failure rather than discovery. Consider the difference between these two interview questions. Would you use a product that does X? This is a confirmatory question. The founder is seeking evidence that supports the hypothesis. The interviewee, being human and generally polite, is inclined to say yes, or at least something encouraging. The founder leaves the interview with validation that is actually just social courtesy. What would have to be true about your current workflow for you to never use a product like this? This is an adversarial question. It assumes failure and asks the interviewee to construct the failure case. The answers are different: specific, concrete, grounded in actual behavior rather than hypothetical willingness. The founder leaves with a list of conditions that must be overcome, which is information you can actually build on. The first approach is customer development in its confirmatory mode. The second is red teaming. They look similar on the surface. Both involve talking to customers, and good customer development can incorporate disconfirming questions. But the default epistemic orientation is opposite, and that orientation determines whether the information you collect will save you or confirm you into a death spiral. The AI safety parallel is not a metaphor. AI safety red teaming is a structured process where expert teams attempt to elicit harmful, incorrect, or undesired behaviors from AI systems before deployment. Anthropic runs this against Claude, OpenAI runs it against GPT, and NIST has incorporated red teaming methodology into its AI risk management framework guidance. The process involves generating adversarial inputs, documenting failure modes, iteratively refining defenses, and translating manual findings into automated evaluations that run continuously. The results are instructive. In automated evaluation, adversary success rates against Claude 3.5 Sonnet dropped from 86% without constitutional classifiers to 4.4% with them. In a separate bug bounty challenge, no red teamer discovered a universal jailbreak despite thousands of hours of testing. The system went from catastrophically vulnerable to robustly defended through iterative adversarial testing, which is exactly the trajectory that business validation is supposed to produce for business models, but rarely does. Because business founders don't approach validation with genuine adversarial intent. The parallel is structural. Though not perfect, AI systems can be tested cheaply and repeatedly in ways markets cannot. AI red teams generate edge case inputs to expose model failures. Business red teams should generate edge case scenarios, competitor pricing moves, regulatory changes, customer churn triggers, channel conflict, to expose assumption failures. AI labs translate red team findings into automated evaluations that run on every new model version. Businesses should translate validation findings into metrics and dashboards that monitor ongoing assumption health. AI systems deploy in phases with monitoring at each stage. Businesses should launch MVPs with instrumentation designed to detect assumption violations, not just adoption curves. Both domains face adversarial environments where systems will be stressed by forces that do not care about the builder's intentions. Both suffer from unknown failure modes that are discoverable only through systematic probing. Both benefit from external adversarial perspectives because internal teams share blind spots regardless of their competence. The methodology transfer is direct, and the fact that the AI safety community has formalized what the business community mostly improvises should be embarrassing to anyone who takes entrepreneurial methodology seriously. Structured pessimism as competitive advantage. Gary Klein's pre-mortem method is the closest thing the business world has to formal red teaming. And it works by exploiting a psychological quirk. People generate better failure explanations when they imagine a failure has already occurred than when they imagine it might occur. A 1989 study by Mitchell, Russo, and Pennington found that prospective hindsight, imagining a future event as having already happened, increases the number of reasons generated for potential outcomes by approximately 30%. The mechanism is that certainty of failure activates different cognitive pathways than possibility of failure, accessing memories and associations that probabilistic framing suppresses. More reasons means a wider search space for failure modes, which is the pre-mortem's core value. The pre-mortem process is disarmingly simple. The team reviews the project plan. The leader announces that the project has failed spectacularly. Each member independently writes reasons for the failure. The group shares until all reasons are captured. The project manager identifies opportunities to strengthen the plan against the enumerated failure modes. Klein designed it to overcome the social pressure that suppresses criticism in group settings, because reframing criticism as retrospective diagnosis rather than prospective attack makes team members comfortable voicing concerns they would otherwise keep to themselves. Warren Buffett proposed a version of this for acquisition decisions in Berkshire Hathaway's 2019 shareholder letter. Hire two expert advisors, one to make the case for the deal, and one to argue against it. The telling part is his confession in the same letter. I have yet to see a CEO who craves an acquisition bring in an informed and articulate critic to argue against it. And yes, include me among the guilty. He described the ideal adversarial process and then admitted that even he does not follow it, which is perhaps the strongest possible argument for why the process needs to be institutionalized rather than left to individual discipline. Entrepreneurs are selected for optimism. You cannot start a company without believing, against base rates, that your specific venture will be the exception to the often cited 90% failure rate, a figure whose provenance is difficult to pin down, though even the more conservative BLS data shows roughly half of all businesses dead within 5 years. This optimism is functional. It gets you started. And pathological. It blinds you to evidence of failure. The planning fallacy makes you underestimate timelines. Confirmation bias makes you weight positive signals over negative ones. Identity fusion with the idea makes criticism feel personal rather than informational. Structured pessimism techniques, whether pre-mortems or formal red teaming or the kind of dual advisor process Buffett described, exist to inject institutional skepticism that counterbalances the founder's necessary but dangerous optimism. They are not a luxury for companies with resources to burn. They are a survival mechanism for anyone operating in an adversarial market. how to red team a business idea without spending much. The AI safety community has massive budgets for red teaming because the stakes are civilization scale. Anthropic's constitutional AI work uses AI-generated feedback based on a set of principles to train models to be helpful and harmless, a process that involves automated adversarial generation and multi-phase evaluation. You do not need any of this. In my estimate, the startup equivalent costs roughly $50 in 30 hours. 10 customer discovery interviews with genuinely skeptical prospects. Not your friends, not people who owe you favors, but prospects who are actively using a competitor or have explicitly decided the problem isn't worth solving, constitute your manual red team. An A/B test of pricing or messaging with $50 in ad spend is your automated red team. A 2-hour team workshop running Klein's pre-mortem protocol is your failure mode enumeration. The total investment is trivial compared to the year or two, and hundreds of thousands that a failed startup will typically consume before admitting defeat. The specific technique matters less than the orientation. Every assumption in your business model is a hypothesis, and hypotheses have a testable inverse. Customers will pay $50 a month inverts to, under what conditions would customers refuse to pay $50 a month? And that in inversion generates better experiments than the original hypothesis does. We can acquire customers through content marketing inverts to what would make content marketing fail for us specifically. And the answers, saturated niche, low search volume, audience doesn't read blogs, are more actionable than the assumption itself. List your 10 riskiest business model assumptions. For each one, design a test that would disprove the assumption, not confirm it. If you cannot design a disconfirming test, the assumption is either unfalsifiable, which means it's faith not strategy, or so well established that it doesn't need testing, which is rare. Then run the disconfirming test first, before building anything, because finding a fatal flaw in week 2 is not a failure. It is the single most valuable outcome a validation process can produce. The uncomfortable conclusion. Red teaming works. Pre-mortem analysis increases the number of reasons generated for potential outcomes by roughly 30%. Even Buffett, one of the most successful capital allocators in history, can articulate the adversarial process and still confess he does not follow it, which tells you something about how powerful the gravitational pull of confirmation is. The evidence from pre-mortem research and AI safety practice points consistently in the same direction. Adversarial validation produces better outcomes than confirmatory validation. But most founders will not do it, not because they don't know about it, not because they can't afford it. The cost is negligible, but because genuine adversarial testing of your own idea requires a psychological capacity that entrepreneurial self-selection actively filters against. The same optimism that makes you capable of starting a company arguably makes you constitutionally unsuited to red teaming it. This is why Klein designed the pre-mortem as a social exercise rather than an individual one. Why Buffett described the dual advisor model as an ideal he confesses he does not follow. Why AI labs use external red teams rather than relying on internal testing alone. The adversarial perspective cannot come from inside the building because the building was constructed by optimists who selected for other optimists who share their conviction that the building will stand. You can start with $50 in ad spend and 10 honest interviews, as described above. That is the minimum viable red team, and it is enough to catch fatal flaws before they become fatal expenditures. But if the business survives initial validation and begins scaling, the most important role to fill is not a CTO or a head of sales. It is someone whose job is to stress test every major assumption, someone with no equity and no emotional investment and no reason to be polite. Anthropic calls them red teamers. You can call them whatever you want. But if 42% of startups fail because there was no market need for what they built, then the absence of that function, whether performed by a $50 experiment or a dedicated hire, is not a gap in the org chart. It is the gap through which nearly half of all entrepreneurial effort quietly disappears.